Okay, fine. So, a few points. This always happens to me. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm done with the sugi of measuring. And then I'm like, I have to look back because maybe not. So, not. Okay. So, okay. First, I'll just, for Kobe. Kobe had said, right, until now, we've been assuming that these are... Okay, well, Kobe had raised the possibility that if the issue is Bizayon Kachim, right, if the reason that you can't sell Shemitah produce in measured ways is not some derivative of Schora, but is because the measuring is a lack of Kedusha, maybe the reason that you would reject the rationale in the Gemara that the problem Shaloyim Kru Bizol is because selling Bizol is itself a Bizayon. Now, Kobe rejected it in the end. He raised it to Havami and then rejected it. And I think he was right in his rejection. But, right, and as we've talked about, it's much simpler to say that the Kedusha is derivative of its Hefker status, in which case cheap is better, not worse. This is not regular Kadosh. But it's true that you could, in theory, construct a position in which, no, it really means Kadosh, and therefore, just like by regular Hektish, you don't underpay Hektish. So here, you don't underpay for Perot Shviat. So I have to admit that Rav Zilber does raise this as a possibility in Tshuvas Aznit Baru, right? And he says, the Yesh Omrim, at the end of the first line, Sha'adarab Bizol have a Bizayon. Maybe, if you think it's Kadosh, so, selling it cheaply is specifically degrading. But then he notes that even according to the Gra, it doesn't seem to be right, right? It sounds like the Gra... Now, right, according to this, he'll say that when the Gemara moves from Zol to Bizayon, what it means is, I'm sorry, Eino Noag Bam Kedusha, it's actually saying it's better to sell it more expensive. But again, that does seem to be very unlikely, but just to acknowledge that it does exist, okay? Fine. Well, you could take something's hefker and then sell it back, no? Right? You find something in the street, which is hefker, you acquire, and then you sell it on. Right? So what you'd have to say is that it's supposed to be continuously treated as if it was not really owned. Right? That's what you're going to have to say. Correct. But you'd say, listen, I got it from hefker, and therefore I didn't put effort in. Right? It's think the labor theory of value. Okay? Think labor theory of value. Oh, God. Labor theory of...
I don't know economics or anything like
that. Labor theory of value is the theory that the value that an object has is basically commensurate to the labor put into it. Okay? It's presented in a version by Smith and a different version by Marx. I'm not a particular fan of the labor theory of value. I'll be honest, but that's not the point, right? The point is that if you take a labor theory of value, then you would understand that if you get something from Hefker, then the labor put into it was less, and therefore the value will be less, right?
No, but if it's Hefker, it shouldn't have any value at all.
No, I had to go and pick it up. Yeah, but I still had to go and pick it up.
Oh,
so it's cheaper, right? That's I'm giving you a possible contract. I'm giving you a possible theory of value, okay? I don't know. Are you asking me Akasha on the labor theory of value? I just said I don't like the labor theory of value. Definitely not in the Marxian version of it. The Smithian one I can sort of deal with. If you think that Smith is different than Marx. Not everyone does. Some people think Marx is ripping completely on Smith. I tend to not believe that. The way I read, do I need to give you a share on what I think Smith is saying in the labor theory of value versus Marx? No.
What?
Big Adol, the way I read Smith, at least, again, the way I read Smith is that Smith is not making a normative claim, right? That the theory that value should be commensurate to labor. But he's making a descriptive claim that it often is, okay. Right? Whereas Marx is making a normative claim, which is, right. The difference is that taking a normative a normative theory of the labor of value of the labor theory of value means that if right what for Marx by taking it normatively, meaning it should be. So he says, let's say that the value of labor is $10 an hour, right? So if something takes 10 hours to make and you charge $110, then the extra $10 is the unfair extortion of the bourgeoisie over the proletariat, because since the value should be 110, the managerial people or whoever are taking the extra 10 off the top, right, are stealing, right? Because the value is or should be simply the labor theory, right? The way I read Smith, at least, is that Smith is saying it descriptively, right? That often something's value is basically... No, Marx takes the labor theory of value as a criticism of the capitalist system. Adam Smith is the father of capitalism, essentially, right? I tend to think, again, this is my read of Smith. There are other people who read it this way also, but my read of Smith tends to be that Smith is, yes, I understand that I'm giving you chakiras within the labor theory of value based on my view of Smith. And yes, as I'm not of the belief that, you know, people who are rabbis suddenly get authority in all things. So I'm not asking you to believe my read of Smith. I'm just telling you this is how I read Smith because I have a interest in economics, and this is how I read his presentation of labor theory of value, and I don't think Marx did it justice, even though he's taking it from Smith. Okay. If that means anything, if you care, okay? If you don't care or you think I'm wrong in Smith, it doesn't really make much of a difference in my life. Last I checked, I'm not an economist by profession. Even if I was, you could argue with me, but you know. What? Look, as we talked about, I like reading a lot, right? So I have opinions on many, many, many things. Oh, so therefore, so the reason I'm just saying this is that in theory, if you take a labor theory of value, either descriptive or normative, right, you would say that maybe something that's acquired from Hefker, since the work that goes into it is less because you didn't work to produce it, you would expect its value to be less, right? And therefore, even though you're selling it, right, I'm just saying that labor theory of value would provide you with a language for saying why something which was acquired from Hefker, even though the exact same object not acquired from Hefker would go for $5, this would go for $3 because, right, essentially the labor was less and therefore the value is less, right? There was a point to this whole discourse, this minor discourse on value theory. And no, I don't ascribe to it. I ascribe to subjective value theory. Yes. No. I will tell you both as a someone with a sustained interest in economics, but non-professional, but also in my halachic perspective on the sugya of ona'a, right, on overcharging, right. Right. Meaning I ascribe to the poskim who take a non-value theory of labor in the sugya of ona'a. So Rav Asher Weiss, it's evident in his tshuva that he takes a subjective value theory of labor, a subjective theory of value, right, and therefore ascribes it to ona'a. Remember when I said that in a globalized world, I'm not sure the laws of ona'a apply because who can tell you what something's value is, right? I'm saying that normatively, halachically, because I follow Rav Asher Weiss's assessment of the sugya of ona'a, which is based on a subjective theory of value, as opposed to Rav Zalman Nachemiah Goldberg or Rav Vosner, who take objective theories of value like the labor theory of value and therefore think that ona'a applies in the modern marketplace, which I don't. So if you're asking me how does this work, the answer is... When I taught my Tikva course, Mordechai, there was a reason last year when I taught the Tikva course last year on economic issues in halacha, one of them was on value theory. Right, and how it plays out in the sugya of ona'a. So that was where I got to act as a economist, you know, someone interested in economics on the side, and rabbi full time was. It was fun times. But that was the on al regel achat, my theory of it. Yes. I mean that. Yes. Right. Right. And you're allowed to do that. Correct. And you're allowed to do that, by the way. And that's exactly, I can do that. I can hire you to pick up Hefker things for me. Good, we're going to get there. We're going to get there. It's on this sheet. It's on this sheet. Very good. I've set you up for exactly where I want you. Thank you. I'm very happy. It's on this sheet. I haven't gotten to it yet, and I don't know if you got to it yet, but yeah, it's on the sheet. Thank you. Okay, good. Yalla. Now, it could be... Now, Chaim Kanievsky points out that the source of the notion, right, that the issue here is Kiddusha, may be the continuation of our Yerushalmi. So if you continue in our Yerushalmi, right, so let's just skim through it a little bit, right, the Yerushalmi continues, right, Tani, Per chutz la'aretz v'nichnu la'aretz lo yimkaren lo b'midav lo b'mishkav lo b'minyan, ela k'per la'aretz v'mayunikaren mutar. Fruit that comes from chutz la'aretz, that's brought into Eretz Yisrael and therefore is not kadosh b'kedushat shvi'it, still can't be sold by measurement because of marat ayin, right, because people will think you're selling shmita produce with marat ayin, unless, if everyone knows, right, it's clear that this is not kadosh produce, you are allowed to, fine. Amar Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Bon, Ilan Kordukaya, Desalkin Umizdavnin Minsusita Litveria, right, these people from Korkudaika, Kordukaya, that bring things from Chutz La'aretz Eretz Yisrael, they were therefore allowed to sell by measurement because it was clear. Everyone understood what they were doing, that it was imported goods. Okay, so let's say it's, I don't know, something that doesn't grow locally, like a pineapple, right? Now, get a pineapple, you would be allowed to sell because pineapples don't really grow here. That's why pineapples are a fortune here, right? Because they're imported from wherever. Yeah, whatever. I mean, they're like 45 shekel a kilo or something. It's insane, right? Probably similar. They're very expensive. Maybe they're sold by, I don't know. Reb Chizkiya b'shem Rabbi Abba bar Mamal, shuhumodeid b'kvisha. Right, so these are important points, but whatever. We'll read through it and we'll come back to some of these points. It also counts as measurement if you take a non-standard measuring thing. So let's say that bowl, okay? But you use it, and you do it two or three times, so now you know how much is in it. So even though it's not a standard measurement, you are now using it as a standard measurement because you know that that bowl holds, I don't know, what do you think it holds? 16 ounces? I don't know, whatever. Okay? It really doesn't matter. Asur lamudba, you can't measure in it. Amar of Hoshaya, Asur meimar, Avar etzba'acha. Right, you're not allowed to tell someone selling it, count on your hands. Right, 1, 2, 3, 5. Tabach kohen, shenitmana lo bechor, mahu mik'ate kuftinu mezamte gavei shuka. So then the Gemara transitions into the halach of selling a bechor balmum. Right, so once a bechor is given to a kohen, a bechor of an animal is given to a kohen. If it has a mum, then he can eat it. So he's not. So the Gemara says, is he allowed to cut it up and sell it in the marketplace? Rabbi Yirmiyah savar meimer shari min hada etchedar kol yagod bebayit ogden oto bashuk. So he tried to prove it from our Mishnah that anything which you normally tie up in the house, you're allowed to tie up in the shuk, the fruit. Right, by Shemitah. Oh, very good. So what's the proof? So the Gemara says that even though normally you can't cut things up, right, even though you're not allowed to tie up Perot Shviit, which we'll come back to, in a business-like way, if you do it the way you normally do it in your house, just for storage purposes, you're allowed to do that even in the marketplace, because that's not a business-like activity. And just because you're doing it in the marketplace doesn't make it business like you do it at home also, right? So if you, I don't know. If you have one of those banana rings, right? You know, like you hang your bananas, right? That's how you do it, right? So you tie up your bananas and hang it in your house. You could do that in the store also. So what's the proof? So the Yerushalmi says maybe the same thing should be true here. If you cut the meat the same way you would at home. So then just because you happen to be selling it as a butcher, it doesn't matter. So Amrei Mana kol grama hi amra hu de aser shelo ye ozik kaose schora begufa. The Gemara says, no, it's not true. You're not allowed to do it because by Bechor, the whole point is we're preventing you from doing business, and therefore you can't do it. Okay. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky points out that if you wanted a very good proof that this halacha is not just about business, but is about business as an expression of Kedusha, this is a very good proof because the Gemara seems to interchangeably discuss Shviat and Bechor, and Bechor is Kadosh. Right? Bechor is Mamish Kadosh. Right, we're talking about Psulei Mikdashin. We're talking about Kadosh. So Ruchayim Ganievsky points out that there might be good proof to say that this is really, really Kadosh from the Yerushalmi itself. Okay. I want to throw out there one more possibility, which we haven't touched at all. I know, I'm sorry. As to what the nature of measuring is. And this is a very surprising shita, which is found in the Mishnah Rishona and other Acharonim, which is maybe this entire sugya. It's not just about Kedusha, and it's not just because Jim Kirubizol. Really, measuring is usher because even when you sell, you have to sell in the abnormal way. You need a shinui. That's all this is. And he comes up with a wild chiddush. Based on that, he says, let's say that you're selling something that's normally sold, not by measurement, not by number, then what could you do? You can or must sell it by precise measure. So I gave you just the summary of this in the Derech Emunah, where he says, V'lo b'mishko kon yirako chederech l'shokel, v'yesh omrim didafka b'mashe darko. Some say it's only usher to measure that which is normally measured. Right, something that you normally weigh, so you could switch it by selling it by weight. Right? 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 Meaning if something is normal, if you normally sell 10 oranges and you don't sell pounds of oranges, so during Shemitah, sell it by the pound. If you normally sell it by the pound, during Shemitah, sell it by number, or whatever, or volume, right? Or volume, right?
By weight, and vegetables are sold by number, so when the Mishnah switched it, they said that you weren't.
So that's the Mishnah Rishona, right? That he's saying, and therefore, all this is a shinui. The whole point of this entire sugya is that you can't sell it normally. Why? Either for a heker, to remind you that it's Perek Shviat, or because that's enough to make it not like normal business. And most poskim say the Yesh Omrim deBechal Gavni Aser that no, measuring is itself is problematic, either because of business or because of violating kedusha, and therefore it doesn't solve it. Right? If a normal circuit, right? Nowadays most people sell oranges by weight. You can't solve it by selling it by number, right?
But I thought that since the Mishnah switched up, that said that figs can't be sold by count instead of by weight, and they're not allowed to do that. That we're not even allowed to use the alternative.
Right, and that's the simple pshat. It's the Mishnah Rishona who says not that way.
Who said that it was normal?
Then the Mishnah Rishona says that all you have to, that the issue is you just need to sell it in an abnormal way. That's
but,
it.
But does he say that these were sold by count and these vegetables were sold by weight?
Oh, I don't know. Right?
That you would be completely
it's a very hard read. I admit it's a very hard read. But that's what he says.
How would you say
You wouldn't. I don't think this would work with Kedusha. You're correct. Right? I think that this would be... I mean, you could. You could say that treating something in the normal way is a violation of Kedusha, but doing something different... The Mishnah Rishona, I think, is before the Pnei Moshe. What does he care?
What?
Okay. Who cares? Okay. Good. So that's another model. Now, Ruchaim Kanievsky points out that... that as much as we talk about Kedusha, and there is good evidence for it in our Gemara, the simplest pshat, as we've talked about over and over again, and this is why I think the majority of Mepharshim take it, is that whatever the issue of measuring is, it is a derivative in one way or another of Sora. And he gives two proofs for it. One is a Yerushalmi in Beitza, Gimel Vav, And just to make it easier, I gave you the Guggenheimer translation, because now that it's on Sfaria, I can give you a translation of... It is not as good as the Art Scroll. It's not. The Art Scroll is much, much better. It's much easier to understand, but okay, for a few lines, it at least is helpful. So the Gemara in the Yerushalmi in Beitza is talking about on Yom Tov, there's also an Isser to measure. Okay, you're not allowed to measure things in Yom Tov, Shabbos or Yom Tov either. So the Yerushalmi says, Tani, Rushimen ben Gamaliel Omer, Af mefayes hu Adam et atzmo, Bilitra. While you're not allowed to do that in a business context, let's say you need to calm yourself down. For whatever reason, you aren't, you're worried on Shabbos, maybe I was cheated, right? So you're just measuring it just to make yourself feel better, right? I don't know. So the Gemara, so Yerushalmi says, you can do that. Not money. It's not money. No, not money. You bought food for Shabbos and you're like, did he cheat me? Right? I don't know. Right? I'll come up with a case. So then you're just measuring it not for business. You're measuring to make yourself calm or come up with it, whatever. I don't, you like measuring. I don't know. You like measuring. You are my kids and you are learning basic math. And you're like, what's 1 + 1? Look, it's 2. I mean, I don't know. That's not fair. They're Israeli kids. They're ahead of that. Even in first grade, they're ahead of that. Okay, so come up with a different case. I don't know. Right? You want to know how much you got, okay? Yes. Might there be business implications? Yes. I don't want to get into it, okay? Point is, Kahada Rabbi Mana Zvan Churva de Shmita. And the Gemara then proves it. Azza Shalar Rechizka Amarle Nagin Rabbana Kahada de Rishimin Ben Gamliel. So what happened? The Gemara then proves it by comparing it to a case of what? Of Shemitah. Right? He compares it to a case of Shemitah. What happens in this case of Shemitah? The Rimana bought caribs, right? Correct. And he, right, waited in private, right? So, you see pretty clearly that the simple shot of the Yerushalmi is that you can't wait in a business context. But once he got home, he wanted to do it for his own purposes, just like on Shabbos, it's mutter, and Shemitah, it's mutter, right? And then he has an even stronger proof, I think, from the Rambam. And that's what I gave you here, that the Rambam, now this obviously doesn't contradict the Grah, it could just be the Grah disagrees, but fine. He shows the Rambam seems to clearly, like most of the Rishonim, think that it's limited to business context. And that's from Chet Vav. So the halacha that we might see later, who knows what we'll get to during this year. Shemitah is a big masachet. But some of the primary sugyot about lifnei iver are found in Shvi'it. So the Rambam is summarizing that halacha. And the halacha goes like this. What if I have a friend, give me a name of a nefarious person, I don't know. My Jewish friend Hitler? No, I'm not going with that. That's a bit odd. Korach. Korach, good name. Korach, what? Betuel, also not Jewish. Korach. Also not Jewish. Avshalom. Fine, Avshalom. Fine, Avshalom's fine. Fine, Avshalom. Yala. Fine. So Avshalom is chashur ala shviat. He doesn't, you know, we're not sure he keeps shviat. You know, he might also be suspect of doing other things, killing his brother, sleeping with his father's wives, you know, different things, whatever. You know, what? Sure, that's a bit anachronistic, Avshalom. But, fine. So, umocher lechashud para choreshet b'shviyat sh'arayefshar l'shochta. So the halacha is, if you sell him something that he's definitely going to violate the laws of Shemitah with, you're not allowed to do that. But if he could use it for something else, then you're allowed to assume that he's not going to use it for the Osir one. So, if you give him a cow that could just as easily be shechted for food or used to plow, you're allowed to sell it to him. Yes, I know. I know. It's a Jew. This is a Jew. Yes, there are different standards. I know this. We did have a dessert 3 years ago. It was amazing. Great sugya. Yeah, and remember, do you remember that I give a weekly Agata to share? Everything about the first Bhagavad Gita art was great. Yes, I spent weeks on those in Agata and months on the first parak. It was great.
Like
God playing with the Leviathan. Oh, great grammars. Wonderful. Great. So anyways, so the Rambam then gives an example, okay, of, so second line, skip down, middle of the line. Umashilo sa'a limdodba. You are allowed to lend him a measuring cup. And even though you know that he, against the halacha, was plowing and working during Shemitah, because it could be that he'll use it in a permitted way in his house. So it's pretty clear that according to the Rambam, is measuring in your house usur? No, right? Meaning he literally says you're allowed to give him a measuring thing because he'll do it in the permitted way in his house. Right? So Reb Chaim Kanievsky points to this Yerushalmi in Shviat, in Beitza, and this Rambam to say that it seems to be that the simplest understanding of a halacha, regardless of the gra, is that this is an issue of business, some derivative of schara, and not kiddusha. Okay? Fine. Now, with all of this behind us, we can now move to, so Kobe says, wait a second! Going back to the case of Hefker, if you're telling me that the reason you might be able to sell it Pizol is because the what we want you to do is relate to it as Hefker, and maybe the way you should conceptualize that is that you're not really paying for the produce, you're paying for the work, right? Very good. So, this brings us to probably nowadays the most practical implication of this, and that is what's called Otsar Beit Din. So, since Rav Shechter explained it to you, let me give you the Arel Galachad version of it again. Otsar Beit Din is a mechanism found in the Tosefta, which at some point this year we will do in-depth, even though Rav Shechter did it pretty in-depth for you, but he went really fast, so we might want to look at it again. But the Tosefta introduces a mechanism, which is understood by most Mefarshim, goes like this. Even though the average person on the street is not allowed to work the field, right, and is not allowed to sell merchandise, Beit Din can sell it. Why? Because what Beit Din can do is say, listen, if you lived in a world where everyone lived next to a farm, so it'd be very easy. Shemitah, it's Hefker, everyone can walk in and can take it. But what are we going to do in a country like ours, where most people don't live next to a farm? So what Beit Din does is say, what Beit Din can do, according to Tosefta, is hire Kobe, and hire Eli, and hire Chaim, and hire all of you, okay? To do what? Go pick all the fruit and bring it to a centralized place, right? And then what will they do? Beit Din will charge you, essentially. Kobe has no responsibility to go. Kobe has no responsibility to go and pick all the apples so that you can eat your free apples. You want your free apple? Drive up to the Golan and find apples, right? If Kobe goes out of his way, drives, spends the gas money in Israel, which is expensive, to drive up to the Golan, fill up his car, which somehow he has, with apples, right, and bring it back. What? Right. So then he's allowed, right? So Beit Din can hire him to do that and then pay Kobe for his time. Not for the apples, for his time. Right? That's the basic conceptualization of Otsar Beit Din. Is that, and when you go into a supermarket now, and you, if you are buying something, which is Kadosh B'Kedushat Shvi'it, what you're really doing is buying for Otsar Beit Din. Right? Exactly. Right? You're, but to the extreme, you're only paying for labor. Right? In theory, right? In theory, all you're doing is paying for labor, right? So when I buy Perot, which are Kadosh, right? That's what I'm doing. There's an organization in Israel called Otsar Haaretz, right? Which has many things under it. And one of the things it does is an Otsar Beit Din. There are other things it does as well.
That's the problem that we're talking
about. Yes, I know. And I don't want to. Yeah. And that's why I'm going to get back to it. I know. I said, Rav Shechter ran through it, and that's why at some point I want to do this. I assume at some point you guys want to spend at least a few weeks on the practical solutions in Israel, Hetzer Mechira, Otsar Beit Din, right? I know he ran through it quickly, but I assume you want to do it Will at some point this year. Right, I figured. But for now, all you need to know is that this is the mechanism of Terbeis. Okay? So now, the question that was then asked is, okay, so the theory behind Otzer Beitin, again, whether it happens in practice, I understand, I get it. But the theory behind Otzer Beitin is that you're paying purely for labor, right? This is Marx on steroids, right? You are not paying for the value of the object at all. You're paying for labor and only labor, right? That's the theory, yeah? So now, if this is the case, so now the Beis Din comes, and it sells it to you. And what does it do? It sells you the oranges. Let's say it takes, let's make it easy. Let's do it by number, okay? It takes 10 seconds to pick every orange, okay? So you accumulate all the, right, expenses plus labor, right? And you put a price on an orange. So now Beis Din's going to sell it to you and say the value of Kobe's gas money and car and commute to the Golan and picking the oranges and, right, putting them in his car and coming back makes it the value of every orange is 15 cents, right? Not the value of the orange. The labor that went into the orange is 15 cents, right? So Beis Din now sells you oranges for 15 cents per orange. B'minyan. So is that mutter? So what many achronim say is, yes, why? Because if the isser is, exactly, if the isser is a case in which you are doing business with Perot Shviat, and in that context, even when it's mutter to sell Perot Shviat, you're not allowed to calculate it because you're trying to focus on the labor, as it were, rather than on the object. In a case when you're purely paying for labor, which is the theory behind Otzer Beit Din, that you're not paying for the fruit, you're paying for the labor. So then it should be mutter to sell by weight, by measurement, because what you've now done... Exactly, because now you're not measuring the object at all. You're measuring, right? You're using that as a proxy for labor, right? So that's what gets complicated here, right? But let's assume by hour. Let's make it easy, okay? Let's make it easy by hour, okay? Right? Again, Rav Schechter already told you all the problems. I understand that Rav Schechter, yes, it would be. And that's one of the problems with Otzer Beit Din. That's not actually how it works. And yes, I understand. That's why Rav Schechter told you the problems with Otzer Beit Din. I'm just telling you the theory, right? And therefore, based on this, there are some modern poskim who say that in a case in which you could, in theory, isolate the labor, and therefore you're not relating to the produce as produce, then you could even measure it, because this is not called schara. It's called paying for work through the mechanism of Otzer Beit Din. Okay? And why would you not say this? Someone tell me why you would not say this. Why would you not accept this svara? You could reject it for several reasons. One would be... Very good. One possibility is that you don't buy this sharp distinction. And you say, even in the context of Otzer Beit Din, yes, the theory is that you're selling it as labor. But your labor and the fruit, there's still some sort of merchandising going on. Right? I understand. Yes. And therefore, you would say you're not allowed to do it. Or if you held like a gra and you said, no, the act of measuring it is itself a bizayon, definitely in the business context. Right? Which this is a business context, even if you're not selling the fruit. So then you would say, you're not allowed to, right? So now, give me 1 minute. Okay, fine, Mordechai, go. Yes, go.
How if we're able to view, if we already can see that we're able to view it through the view of selling, of paying for the labor,
yeah.
Then why do we need to go to
the... It's a very good question. That's why I want to do Otzer Beit Din, because I do think that in the sugya of Otzer Beit Din, there are beautiful chidushim about all of Shemitah. And a lot of the chidushim that the post can say about Otzer Beit Din and why it works get cut to the heart of Shemitah. Okay? No, I understand. I understand what you're saying. And this is one of the keys to Otzer Beit Din. Right? is, I don't want to give away what they're going to say. Do you want me? I can give you the Regel Acha, but you'll understand. Okay, I'll give you the 1 minute version of it, and you'll understand why I think this is such an important sugya. What many of the Achronim argue is that if the point of Shemitah is to stop you from relating to the land and the produce as an owner by giving it over to the representative of the entire community, right? You have now done that, right? Right, because now, right, by putting someone else, right, by putting the representative of the community in charge, right, and taking yourself out of it, right, even if you then buy it and sell it and whatever, the fact that they're doing that shows that you recognize it's not yours because you've given it over to the community. Exactly. That's exactly what they think. No, that's exactly what it is. Is that for this year, right, you are relating to it as that which is owned by the collective whole, and Bazin is just representing the collective whole.
Okay.
Right? And this is why this sugya is so important because, okay, you understand? You understand why this is a very important sugya? Good. We're going to come back to it. It's a very important sugya. Okay, good. So now if you look at Derech Emunah, I broke it up for you. You see how I broke it up into 5 bullet points? Okay? So I'm just going to skim it for you. But first bullet point is, right, is the proof that you're allowed to measure in your house from the Yerushalmi and Beitza and the Rambam. Okay? That's the first bullet point. Second bullet point is that any case of Otsar Beit Din, you are allowed to measure, right? So he says, "Umei high time a yesh lomar the gam bechanuyot shel shmita shehin betorat shlichut." Any store which is not really a store, what is it? Right, Otsar Beit Din is essentially a shlichut. Right, I'm appointing you my messenger to go and collect it, and then I will pay you for your labor. Right, ein iser limdod v'lishkol. There's no iser to measure. Ki hurak lehudia kamut sarich. I'm not really measuring, I'm paying for labor, or I'm just telling you how much I need. Right? But it's not conceptualized as selling by measure. Right? Or if you skip down to hey, skip down to the Aznidbaru, this is that same true of the Aznidbaru. Right? He says, V'chein le'inyan otsar beitin shein hog be'ezem mikomot ha'min hakshet shoklin. By Otsar Beit Din, people do measure. Vuhulai al pi machinig marana chazan ish. Zal. Right? It could be based on chazan ish. Vatam. What's the reason? Dinakdinon, because we hold the ikerhu mishum schora. That the reason it's usher to measure is because of it's merchandise. Vikan shachen veni hurak shliach shel hakonim. Here where you conceptualize the store owner as your messenger to collect things. Mutar gam lishkol, so he can measure just like you could to make a cake, right? It's not just as I said, you're paying for the labor. But by saying you're paying for the labor, what you're really saying is you're picking up the apples that I need for me. And therefore, just like I can measure the flour for my cake, I can say for my apple pie, I need 3 apples. Can you give me 3 apples for my recipe and I'll pay you for your time? I understand. I don't want to get. We will come back to the practical implementation of Otsar Beit Din. We will, okay. And if I don't, right? If I don't, right? Then, first of all, make sure I do. But if not, we'll do a mishmar at some point, and I will go through in depth, maybe a series of mishmars for everyone on the practical implementations of Shemitah, right? It could be that we won't do it in Shir. It could be that we'll at some point, like Rav Shechter did in an hour and a half, we will do it in more than an hour and a half, right? We'll devote proper time to each of the hetayrim, okay? Fine. So he says, "Mutar gam lishkol pashut b'zeh kol echad yochal lishkol." The efshar b'zeh adif tve yoter to lo shayach b'zayinu machanim kar kider chasochra mikan ein b'zeh mishum schora. And he says that maybe there's no b'zayin because this the whole point is it's usher when you're being mavazeh by doing it in a merchandise way. And the whole svar of Otsar Beit Din is you're not right, just like it's mutter in your house. Okay. Now, I will note that not everyone agrees to that, and the source right before I gave you from Rav Vitman, right? Now, Rav Vitman is a very interesting person. Rav Vitman, at least 7 years ago, I didn't check this time, was the person in charge. He's the Rav of Tnuva. the dairy company. Yes, he's the Rav. He's the Posek of Tanuga. He's a very important person. He's also the Rav of Alon Shvut. He's a very important Posek. He Rav Vitman, Rav Zev Vitman. I mentioned him once. I was talking to Ray Kelman. You guys know Ray Kelman, right? Not you. You. You two. Ellie and... Do you know Jay Kelman? No, like... No? Or Chaim Ariad. Turin Motion?
Very large house. Somewhat just
no. The house in Georgia. Whatever. He lives in Or Chaim Ariad. Anyways. Gutenberg, Kelman. Anyways. They're siblings. Anyways. I was talking to him once about it, and he said that at chat, they're still bitter when you mentioned Rav Weitman, because he came as a shliach to chat many years ago, and then in the middle of the year, whoever was the Rav of Tanuva, like, died or got a better job or I don't know, whatever happened, and they called him to ask if he wanted to be Rav of Tanuva, and he left after, like, 1 month in chat because he realized that this was the opportunity to have a major rabbinic position for the rest of his life. So he left being a high school shliach in chat to head Tanuva. So he's a very prominent posek, but he also was tasked. At some point, he was the Rav of Kfar Tzion, which is a kibbutz, a dati kibbutz, and they're now a moshav. So he was in charge of their actual otzar beitin, of their produce. And then 7 years ago, he was tasked with running the Rabbanut's Shemitah plan. So he did the Heter Mechira, he did the Otzar Beitin, he was in charge of the whole countries. Okay, so he really, really knows what he's talking about. And he wrote a book, Lekrat Shmitam Mamlachtit B'Midat Yisrael, and he actually thinks it's better not to. It's better not to sell even Otzar Beit Din by measurement. Right? He says, Adif im efshar, if possible, shelo legvod otzar b'shkila medugdeket umedugdeket, it's better not to do precise measurements, elo listapik barachot ugviot tashlum nariza, that you should sell by container or by... approximation, kvishan asim is farakamo, which is what some people do. What? Yeah, but not you measure it. Like, you know, like a crate is a volume, but you don't necessarily fill it to the top, right? In a standardized way. Now, what Josh points out is an important point, and I gave you this from the Oz Nidbaru. The Oz Nidbaru points out, right, Rav Zilber points out, that there is a very standard case that you might not realize that you're selling something by measure, but you clearly are, and that is a can. He thinks that canned produce in Shemitah would be usur, right? Because it's pre-measured. That's exactly what it is, right? Or any, most packaging, he argues for that reason, is usur, because it's, right, the standard packaging is exactly that. It's standardized.
Some potato chip bags will have, like, two chips in the entire thing,
or
they'll
completely fall. But what do you mean? But they're by measure. It'll tell you the reason they do is they sell it by weight. There's a note on it, so you don't sue them, that it's sold by weight, and that's why I don't complain to them at volume.
Where's like, the margin of error? Like, where's the city?
You know that's what it says on it. Have you never noticed?
But it's not true a lot of the time.
So then sue them. That's what it, the reason they put it there is so you can't sue them. But if it turns out that even according to themselves, us or... yes. Well, I think the argument of people who say that it's mutter Otzar Beit Din would say it is, and Rav Vitman would say maybe not, right? The fact you're measuring it changes that relationship. I agree. No, I understand that. That's why he would say it. I get it. He doesn't elaborate much, so I can't tell you exactly why he says it. No, I didn't say I didn't understand it. I'm showing you both sides. Okay. Fine. I see I have 20 minutes left and I want to finish the sheet because tomorrow I want to do the last sugya on this halacha, which is the wrapping up so that we can move to in earnest. I was debating whether to move already tomorrow to Skar and skip the issue of Ogden, right, of tying things up. But I was like, you know what? We'll spend one day just wrapping up this halacha. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I did not mean to do that. But okay, good, good. I'm glad I did. No regrets. No regrets. Okay. I said I want to wrap up the sugya with the sugya of wrapping. Okay, I got it. Fine. Okay, you know what? Let's skip now to the bottom, and if we have time, we'll do the last piece from Chaim Ganeski. If we don't, we'll skip it, okay? What? 20 minutes. Okay? So another manifestation of this is, right, so far we've seen measuring at home, measuring in the case of Otzer Beten. Another potential implication of all this is measuring in a case where you're buying from non-Jews. Okay? So if you look in number 5, the Shemitah Kehil Chasa, which is Ramosha Sternbach, he writes, so there's a machloket, which we haven't done yet this year, of whether the produce that a goy produces on his own land is kadosh or not. It's machlokes, Beis Yosef, and Mabit. So he says, what happens if you think it is kadosh? Okay, it's machloket, but let's say you think it is kadosh. So then he says, let's assume that you think that that which a goy produces on his own land is kadosh. So now you're in a weird situation where the produce is kadosh, but the person selling it to you has no chiyuv to keep the halacha of Shemitah. Right? That's the weird thing. So he says, in that context, is there an isser of selling by measurement? So what do you think?
It depends how you go.
So he says, well, he says, the Mishnah says, ain't mochrim. Right? And he says, well, let's go through the Yerushalmi. It says ain't mochrim. And what is the first answer in the Yerushalmi? If it's in order to encourage you selling it cheaply, then it's clear that it's not only that it's usher in a business context, but it's usher specifically for the seller. And therefore, if the seller is a non-Jew, and therefore has no problem how much he can charge, then the buyer, who's a Jew, is allowed to accept, or is allowed to engage in a sale in which there's specific measurements. Look what he's doing, right? He says, Diuk 1, it says Ein Mochrim. Diuk 2 is that the first reason the Yerushalmi is that it's Ein Mochrim. Right? And he says, and his own produce, which according to some poskim, is Kadosh. It's a machloket, but he says, if you paskin that which a goy produces in his own land in Shemitah is Kadosh, but he's not chayev in Shemitah, it means if he sells it to a Jew, it's Kadosh, but he's allowed to sell it anyways. So the question is, are you allowed to buy it by precise measurements? So Sternbach says, presumably, yes, because it says a mochren, which implies that the Isser is not in business in general, but on the seller. And according to the first day in the Yerushalmi, if you think it's a standalone, then he has an obligation to sell it for you cheaply because he's a guy, right? And then he says, well, maybe, right? And then he says, and even if it's about a heker, right, to remind you that it's kadosh, it could be that, look, we lechatchila want to have a heker that is kadosh b'kadoshat shviyit, but that only works if you're buying from a Jew, if you're buying from a guy. Ein ma lasot, so chazal weren't goes there, okay? But he then quotes Maril Diskin. Maril Diskin, Shehich Mir Gamlin in Mishkal Bekana Minachri. Umach Lavomet Dafka. He says the Maril Diskin would not do this. And he says what he thinks, what's the Svara? The Gra. If you think that the problem is it's a Bizayon, it's Kodesh, so then it doesn't matter who's doing it. Right, and even if you limit it and say it's only bizayon in a business context, presumably that formulation would make it an issur both on the buyer and the seller, right? Because it's about measuring it in a commodified context. What? Oh, and this is why I wanted to do this. So hold that thought for 5 seconds. And then he says, that's not a proof, right? Maybe the Maral Diskin was only being machmir. And he says, maybe the only thing you shouldn't do is when you buy from a non-Jew, you shouldn't measure it. Okay, lechatil, let him measure it. Okay? But he says, if you want to be machmir, so when you're buying from a guy, that's what you should do, is you should say, measure out for me a pound of oranges. Right? Don't do it yourself. Okay. Then He notes two more points. I'll just say them outside. One is that the Isser, once you assume that it's only about merchandise, so he says it's only us or in merchandise and selling, but not if you're giving it as a gift. Okay? And as we already saw in the Yerushalmi, remember the Yerushalmi says that measuring, it's called measuring if I take a non-standard measurement, measure it, use it a bunch of times until I know how much is there, and then I use it during Shemitah, that's also Aser, right? Okay, we already saw that in the Yerushalmi, and that's what he says, Lalacha. Now, Kobe asks a very important point, which is, wait a second. If you think that the Isser Medida is about merchandise, right, it's about treating it like merchandise, so then, really, what this should hang on, of whether or not you're allowed to measure it in this context, is whether the Isser of selling Shemitah is only on the seller, or on the buyer and seller. And Kobe says, clearly the Isser of merchandise should be on the buyer and seller, because isn't that what any transaction is? Right? Guess what? That is going to be one of the major questions in the Isser, Schora, and that's why we're going there. Next, where one of the major questions of Schora is, what is the nature of the Isser Schora? Is it an Isser to sell Peretz Shviyat, or an Isser to engage in business with Isser Shviyat? What's the nafkamina? Whether the kone, right, whether the buyer is, when he buys Peretz Shviyat, violates the Isser Schora, or violates... doesn't violate it, what will he, might he violate? Lifnei Iver. Right? Because he's, right? Because he's enabling the seller to sell it. What's the nafkamina between saying that you violate the Isser Schora or violating Lifnei Iver? So, yes, but there's a very important practical nafkamina. And that is, what happens if, again, well, we're going to come back to it, but I want you to understand why this is very important. What happens if the mocher isn't a Rasha, the mocher is an Omer Mutter? Meaning what? Let's say you decide that you don't hold of Heter Mechira, but you go to a store and the seller asked his rabbi and he holds of Heter Mechira, and therefore you're Machmir to treat Heter Mechira. You think Heter Mechira doesn't work, so you think it's Kadosh, like Rabbi Ginsburg, right? That Rabbi Ginsburg is Machmir to treat Heter Mechira with Kedusha, right? But then there's a second question is, okay, so you go to the store and now you want to buy Heter Mechira produce. If you think that Isser Schora applies to the buyer and seller and you think Heter Mechira doesn't work, then what? When you buy it, then you're over the Isser Schora. But if you think that it's only on the Mocher and the seller only can do it because of Lifnei Iver, then since he thinks it's Mutter, right, he's doing it Beheter, so do you violate Lifnei Iver? Maybe not, and therefore you might be allowed to buy it and then just keep treat it big, Kedusha Shviyat, right? So this is a very important nafkamina, right? Don't ask me too many questions. Yes, I understand. And this gets into very complicated questions of Lifnei Iver, which is it Lifnei Iver when you enable someone to do something which you think is Asur and they think is Mutar? Very good. Like I said, we're getting there. Yeah. This is a very... Okay. Now, the Aznid Brew says that when you buy from a guy, don't be machmir. And his reason is very simple. Pashtus, it's on the mocher. Second of all, even if it's not, the holy Isser is derabanan. Right? The Isser of Medida, as we saw, is derabanan. So it's a suffix derabanan, so stop being so annoying. Right? That's basically what he says. Okay? Don't be so annoying. What? Well, that seems to be, right? The simplest understanding of the sugya, the simplest understanding that Shchora might be Daraisa, but the Isser of measuring is Dirabana. Well, look, according to most people, it's either, when you say Kadeshi Imkru Bezol, right, it sounds like a Dirabana. Right, you're right, it could be read as a Daraisa, but he assumes that according to most people, it's Dirabana. Okay? Okay, good. We have a few more in this list, so I'll just tell you the last points in Rechaim Kanievsky, because I did think they were interesting. Once we saw the sugya and beitza in the Yerushalmi, so Reb Chaim Kanievsky then says, okay, there's an isser of measuring on Shabbos and there's an and on Yom Tov, and there's an isser of measuring on Shemitah. Are they the same? So he argues, you want, you know, I think, should I say it outside or do you want to read it inside? It's here, but do you want me to read it inside or should I tell you what he says? Okay. So he says that on Shabbos, if you add a little bit or subtract a little bit, right, then it's mutter. Okay? If you add a little bit or subtract a little bit, then it's mutter. Yeah, meaning you don't do it precisely. Okay? Meaning you take a measuring cup, but you do it, you know, not, right, not all at the top or whatever, right? Or you use a, instead of using a half cup measuring, you use a cup measuring, and then you fill it up. When you need a half a cup, so you fill it up near the half a cup, right? Yeah, more or less, right? So he says that on Shabbos, that works. But in Shemitah, that's usur. And his argument is as follows. On Shabbos, the reason you can't measure is because it's uvdin dechol. Right? Because you measure in a business context, it's just not Shabbos dik. So therefore, how do you solve uvdin dechol? Yeah, with a shinoi. Do it a little bit differently, and now it's not the way you do it during the week. Right? But on Shemitah, what's the problem? We don't want you to treat it really like a sale. Right? And if you basically say if you approximate, you say, just give me a box. Right? So that's fine. But if you say, use your measuring cup, right? But, you know, minus a little bit, right? Or plus a little bit, what are you, right? The point is, it's not about shinoi. It's about presenting this as a normal business deal or not. And, or as a business deal or not. If you're doing it, right? If you're measuring it, and you're like, oh, but I took out a spoonful, right? That still has the feel of, right? If the only problem is uvdin dechol, so I made a shinoi. But if the problem is treating this like a business context, that doesn't quite solve the problem. Right? And he says, right? And he says, same, right? If you think that the problem is you're going to forget that this is perut shviat, he says, if it looks like a normal sale, right? There needs to be, right? You could argue with it, but this is his argument, right? Is that in the end of the day, the shinoi needed for uvdin dechol and the shinoi to make something not business-like are different, right? That's his argument. Right, and then he uses this to explain the Rishalmi.
What happens if you measure the amount that you're going to take out of it?
And let me just give me 1 minute. You'll see. Right, and just in the last section I just gave you, where he goes through the Yerushalmi, guys, he just if you want to look and you want a summary for yourselves at the end, guys, 1 minute, really. He brings a summary of the Yerushalmi of the Rambam. Is it one reason? Is it two reasons? The Gra, etc. And then in his last line, he just gets the thing that bothered Kobe. So let me just read it. His last three lines, rather. Right? Kobe's problem with this whole thing was, wait a second. The Rambam's formulation of this was, sell it cheaper so that it'll be clear that it's Hefker. Kobe's problem from the beginning was, you're still selling it, which means it's not really Hefker. So look three lines in the bottom. He says, the point isn't that it's Hefker. The point is that you're supposed to remember that they're from Hefker and that you're not really profiting. The Nirash Rabbeinu Ramaz Lazeh, and the Rambam was hinting at this. When he said to let you know that it's Hefker, Afagav da ata eino Hefker, even though it's not, the kfar zachabo, because you already own it, right? It was once Hefker, but now you own it, right? You picked it up, it's yours. So how can you tell me I'm selling it for cheap to remember that it's Hefker? I'm selling it, which shows that it's no longer Hefker. He says, you're right. That's not the point. The point is that with Shemitah produce, we always want you to remember that you got it from Hefker. It's more about giving you the proper perspective on where this came from, rather than currently treating it from Hefker. It's to remind you that it comes from Shemitah. V'lachein mochran askra below revachim, and that's why you sell it by approximation to make less profit. V'yideze yizkar sheshvam kedusha. That's what will remind you that it's kadosh. Right? It's not that it is hefker. You're right. That can't be what he means. What he means is that you treat it in a less ownership-like way to remember its origin and then treat it properly. Okay? Fine. That is what I wanted to say on measuring, okay? More than I wanted to, but I think we fleshed out some very important issues. Tomorrow, and I don't want this to spill over into Sunday, if you guys really wanted to, you can. I don't see why it should. We're gonna finish up the sugya, deal with the question of wrapping. I put together a very simple makarot sheet with the Rambam, the Ravid, and a summary of the shitot in the Derech Emunah, and not really much more than that. Is that all I put? Oh, and one piece by the Chazon Ish. And otherwise, I put on my instructions in the makarot is look at the footnotes in the art scroll. The way we are going to make sure that we don't get bogged down in the sugya is that I gave you the very basic makarot. It's not exhaustive, but we'll use the footnotes, we'll use the Rambam, we'll use Derech Emunah to basically summarize the relevant issues, because I do think it adds a little bit to the sugya. After that, we will go to Schora as a standalone sugya. Then we have to figure out what we want to do, because Halacha Dalid gets off on a real tangent of the Halachot Shel Im'um, the halachot that are unclear, and then get into a long discussion because of that on Bishul Akum, because that's another case of the halachot shel imum. Yes. So I don't know if you want to do that. After we finish halacha, after we do schora, I am open to suggestions of where we go. There are many issues that are important in the... Look, if you want to continue the 8th parak, I'm happy to do that. If you want to spend a little bit on the non-Shemitah topics that come up here, we can. If we were going to do that, I think there's a better one in Halacha Hay, which is a fascinating sugya of whether it's ever considered pikuach nefesh to do your laundry. It's a very famous sugya in the Bavli and Yerushalmi. It's a very fascinating sugya. I'm happy to spend a day or two on it because the Lumdus is just so nice. And amazingly, it is one of the main sources on resource allocation from a halachic perspective in a socialized medicine, a society with socialized medicine. Yes, this is actually one of the main sugya, which is the definition of pikuach nefesh in national context. So I'm happy to do that. So you think about it, but schora, just know that schora is going to take us a while, right? Schora and kedusha pero, because we're going to go into the Bavlis a bit.